Siyagodola, man. This aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a ship.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come in?
Point of order.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome back to another edition of Sunday Times Politics Weekly. With me, Amil Amrao. I'm joined in the studio this week by my colleagues, Apiwe de Klerk, Zingisa Mvumvu, and Zimasa Matewane. Guys, I'm so tempted to start this podcast and dedicate this entire podcast talking about the first episode of Game of Thrones that aired yesterday.
Yeah.
What is that? Hey, what's going on?
What
is this Game of Thrones thing? This thing has been popular for like a decade. What do you mean first episode?
The first episode of the newest season.
Oh, and it's the last season.
But unfortunately, we'll be going across our mandate, and I'll probably get fired from this job.
Nah, I'll support you. They won't fire you for that. Winter is coming. Oh, is it arrived?
You guys must leave this studio. What is this nonsense?
Anyway, let's get into it then. Because Zingisa doesn't know what we're going to be talking about anyway, we can't leave him out the conversation by talking about Game of Thrones. But maybe we'll do a whole separate podcast on that later this week or when the season ends. But anyway, let's look at our Sunday paper this past week. State property splurge once again. I mean, it was just recently, if I'm not mistaken, that there were upgrades to ministerial homes across the country, and now Cyril Ramaphosa's administration will spend nearly 750 million to spruce up houses occupied by ministers and other government-owned buildings. Now this includes if I go back, a ministerial house in Rondebosch in Cape Town is due for a kitchen and a bathroom upgrade costing about 1 million.
A million
for a kitchen and a bathroom upgrade. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. New carpets in the East Wing, the offices of Nkosi Sono Dlamini Zuma, will cost 5.7 million. One, how big is her office and how fancy are these carpets? And just another example, to spare MPs the irritation of load shedding, 2.9 million has been set aside to investigate provision of additional standby or emergency power supply to the precinct. So the people who are basically in charge of, or who have resulted in all the decisions which led to Eskom's collapse and are sort of behind the failure of Eskom are now getting special treatment not to suffer the same load shedding we are. And this is massive amounts of money, 750 million. This probably pissed off a lot of people. Pisses me off as I'm sitting here now.
So is me.
I'm pissed off, eh?
Because while we're talking about a massive situation at Alex where people don't have homes, we're now taking 750 million and putting it towards added luxuries.
You see the
ministerial houses.
Wait.
Let's talk about this. Who wants to go first?
I'm going first, please. I'm going first. Declerk, please, you went first last week. Can I take first this week?
What are these politics?
Yeah.
It's a situation. So go for
look,
it.
Amil, I think we have a problem of politicians generally in South Africa who think they're special, who think because of the perks that come with their positions, they should actually abuse those. I mean, it's completely ridiculous that we have an economy that is struggling to grow, we have obscene poverty, we have rising unemployment, yet these people continue treating themselves like kings and queens in that kind of an environment, which I think is really, really not in the values of what, I mean, especially the governing party claims to stand for. You know, it's really shocking that we still have those kind of people. But, you know, and it's the new dawn. It's even more shocking that these things are continuing under the new dawn. You would expect the new dawn to do better than the 9 wasted years, if I may put
and,
it that
and
way.
And Tuma Mina is always talking about cutting
costs. You know, and we're expecting him to cut down the cabinet now, but still.
What's the rationale?
You know, it's a sham, Jayonke, this thing of a new dawn.
You know, it's actually it's a new yawn. There's nothing that is dawning here. It's a yawn.
Wait.
The 5.7 million is for what, carpet?
It is 5.7 million for carpets in the East Wing, where Dlamini Zuma's offices are.
What kind of carpet is that, guys?
These are probably Egyptian silk rugs, for all I know.
But does she need that?
Did you see the part about the million for an upgrade to a kitchen and a bathroom. It's there already.
Bruh.
it's already there.
Who cooks for them? I mean, do they hire guys who appear on MasterChef so that they need a 500,000 kitchen? And in the bathroom, what do you do that would need you to invest 500,000 in a bathroom? What do you do in a bathroom?
It's probably a toilet that washes your ass on its own automatically.
No, but guys this is pulling, not a laughing matter anymore.
These guys are pulling on. These guys are pulling on our tax money.
The thing is,
you know how many RTB house could you build for a million?
Probably like what, 10?
10 families.
Exactly.
Families of 5. So that's like what,
750 families or even more.
Jeez.
It's crazy. But I think the contestation here is that you've got half your population living in poverty. You've got so many people who are impoverished and without homes, without proper homes, living in RDP matchboxes. And then you have a set of cabinet ministers who are the epitome of privilege, essentially. Are they not? Because for me, you have a house as a minister. You earn a big salary for one. What is it, like 1.2 million a year, if I'm not mistaken, guys? Is a minister's salary, not is a parliamentarian salary?
Yeah, around that, around that there, much, right? Reaching.
And then from there, we should be sticking these guys in a city lodge every time they've got to go to Cape Town. To be honest, every time they have to travel, let's make them travel normal economy class, maybe with their bodyguard as well. Call them into a city lodge, maybe another room for their bodyguard. Why do they need so many homes around the country?
In fact, I mean, why do we have to pay for them?
Exactly.
We are paying these people salaries. We feed them. We make them sleep comfortably. We buy their fuel and their cars. What are they spending their money on?
Yeah.
What do they do?
I mean, seriously, what do our politicians do with their salaries? Because we seem to be sponsoring their entire life.
Even their trip to Dubai are sponsored.
You know?
Look, there's a picture that shows you the pain that a South African poor resident has to go through. Or rather, I think those are things that anger them the most. There was a picture of Tumamina who his motorcade in Alex.
Yes, I saw that.
People are up in arms. They're burning tires and whatnot. Oh, you've got these German machines, man. They've a line. It's like eight
that
picture was taken by Umduduzi of the Sowetan, our colleague. Can we just give him a round of applause?
Yeah. Look, and then on the street poles, the posters of the different parties. You see, these people are just here to get your votes. And after that, they are gone. And they're not coming back. And when they get to where they are aiming to go, which is in government, they're going to have a 500,000 bathroom. Eh?
Oh, 500,000 kitchen. Bathroom. Oh, well, splitting between the
Yeah,
two.
I'm not saying the one. I mean, they don't stay there in Cape Town. This thing is in Rondebosch. They are not there full time. So who gets to use that kitchen for the rest of the month? They're there for 2-3 days.
Exactly. I think I would understand if certain buildings like the NCOP buildings in Plain Street in Cape Town were literally falling to pieces and upgrades had to be done because of safety issues.
Mm.
Then you can sort of understand. But not when you're spending R1 million on a bathroom and a kitchen, because now you're being lavish.
Yeah, no. I know it's completely insane. I mean, I'm sure we all agree that this ought not to be the case. Where is it going? Our boss is You know, it's completely ridiculous. I mean, I guess there's nothing further that one can say on this thing than just saying it's complete insanity in the face of poverty and rising unemployment and all the social ills that we have. I mean, seriously, our politicians can do better.
The only thing missing in this list is a chicken run that costs thousands of rands, and a 1 million rand crawl,
and a fire pool.
That's the only thing missing.
Does not amount to the exact same thing, though. How can we? We're complaining about state money going to one person, 246 million. Yes, not all of it, but most of it, right? But now you're taking more, and this is apparently going to cost a lot more than 750 million once it gets done, because prices are obviously going to go up. So you're almost looking at almost R1 billion, maybe even closer to that figure, on money for a set few people who aren't really benefiting from this, but are just living this life of luxury. on taxpayers' money.
How does this make sense when there is talk of a cabinet that is being resized?
Exactly.
They're cutting cabinet. There's been talk since the former president announced that he wants parliament to come to Pretoria, of there being a relocation of parliament from Cape Town. And then so what are you saying? Okay, we've dumped that plan? Because from what we are understanding, these people are still doing a feasibility study. Now you are upgrading the NCOP. But Gandhi, these people don't look at the one plan and the other and compare. Okay, maybe if we are saying maybe we should wait for this, whether it's feasible or not, that we are going to move parliament. And then we commit. Maybe I would have understood if they say, if this doesn't happen, then this is what we are going to spend. Now,
I don't think our government cares. I don't think they take us seriously. I think they just see nje popais who are going to vote for them and contribute to tax so that they can live like kings and queens.
And previously we had sort of grown immune to this thing because it was the previous guy, and it was every day this thing. now we've got a new guy and it's still going on.
Okay, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll get back into our election coverage when we come back.
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course, have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative, only on Times Live Motoring.
Guys, thank you so much for rejoining us. We're going to get straight into our election coverage. Elections are just about 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks away, and we're all in election fever here at the office. We're being sent all across the country covering campaigns and rallies and all sort of shenanigans happening between the big three political parties in the run-up to elections. Guys, you guys have covered a lot. I mean, I've been sent to Cecil Ramaphosa talking to a lot of white counterparts in Sandton. I've been to Musi Maimani talking to a little Jewish community in Sandton as well. I've got some views on those things. I'm sure you guys have been to some EFF rallies. I don't know if Julius allows us in his rallies at the Sunday time, so we might have been banned. We might have been watching it from TV. But guys, some of your impressions from going to all of these rallies in the build up to elections. Where do we start? Let's start with the ANC. Cyril Ramaphosa and the top six. A lot of controversy around Ace Magashule as well and his antics in Cape Town.
I want him to go to my house.
I need him.
My fridge is empty.
I need him to go to my house.
Let's start there. Ace sort of condemned for handing out money to impoverished citizens and almost buying their votes in a way, and also filling and giving their money for groceries, looking into their fridges, telling people not to vote for white people, a whole bunch of shenanigans coming from Ace.
He must come to my house.
This isn't new, is it?
Yeah.
As the ANC's always been giving money to people.
The DA has also been giving food parcels. Remember those ones with the DA logo?
Yeah. So,
Here's where I come off. We should be in a society where we don't need to be given food and shown our poverty and promise something on that. We should all be on a level where we don't need these gifts from government or our political parties because we know where we are in standing and we know where we want to go. We don't have to be told and bribed to get it. What do you guys think? And the silence was
look, Chief, me, what I think on this matter, of course, it's patronizing, first of all, the stance by politicians to give stuff, because they would never do it generally. I mean,
exactly.
I await to see a day where a politician in the middle of somewhere, like in the middle of a term where there's no election in sight or nothing of that sort, goes to the township on their own personal capacity and check what is happening and give out money from their own pocket.
That is what I would believe to be genuine. I mean, because I've seen many people are saying, yeah, but what do you expect these people? For me, leave alone the electoral code thing. It's just, on a moral basis, it's patronizing. Exactly. And it's completely uncalled for. Because this is surely a gimmick for elections to pretend that they care, when in actual fact, we know that they don't. In the fact that they only go to those areas and pretend to be shocked. Well, we have a president now called Cyril Ramaphosa. They're always shocked in this regime. Mm. They pretend to be shocked all the time, when some of us were not shocked because we live those realities. So on a moral basis alone, that is completely wrong.
What's some of the other key messaging that you're noticing from the ANC, Zimasa?
I haven't covered them a lot, but what I've noticed, especially with voter contact, is that I feel like the ANC doesn't know how to go into someone's house and convince them to vote for the ANC. Mm. You know, when I spoke to the SG on this day before this whole 400 thing happened, and I was asking him that if you go into a shack where people are unemployed and people are hungry, how do you convince them to continue voting for the ANC? And he said that, well, when we give them food, we are being labeled vote buyers, but my conscience won't allow me to leave people if they're hungry. So I'll speak to comrades and we'll make a plan.
But your conscience allows you to loot the Free State, right?
I'm not going to go there. I'm scared of the ANC Youth League.
Bend the Sunday Times.
I don't know. I feel like South African politics, we are way past the battle of ideas. Mm. We are now on matters of popularity. How many babies can you kiss? You know, how many
old ladies' faces can you swap? Yeah. Can you wipe?
Yeah.
You know, we are in the age of PR, Zim, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's not about, as you say, the battle of ideas. We have long abandoned
dead. That thing. It, like, if... Okay, so if a politician would come to my house now, from what I've observed, I'm not sure how anyone can convince me to vote for them. Because if the ANC comes, what I've seen with they will, hey, are you going to vote for the ANC? Hey, you're going to vote for us. Hey, here's a T-shirt. So what grade is this child in? So, like, there is nothing that says this is what the ANC will change. This is how the ANC is going to change your life. This is how the ANC is going to better your life individually. So the DA will come and say, remove the ANC, you know. Yeah.
And the EFF will come and tell you what you want to hear.
The EFF is going to tell you that everything is going to be free.
They say EFF stands for everything for free.
There's nothing exciting about this election campaign. I haven't heard anyone say anything of substance.
So from what I've seen, looking at everyone's interactions with communities, is that the ANC is basically punting Cyril Ramaphosa and then UDON, saying, sorry, we made mistakes in the past couple of years, but now we're refreshed, we're renewed, and we're ready to go.
I feel like...
That's the first thing with the ANC. Then the DA is basically saying, depending on who they're talking to, they're either pushing this one essay for all, where they're sort of going on this fear that white people have all of a sudden about land expropriation and unity in the country. Or if they're talking to black people, they're basically saying, this is what the ANC has done to you, vote for us instead. And the EFF, as Zangisa said, is just on, here is our ideal society. I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it for you.
I feel like the ANC has taken the whole Cyril Ramaphosa and made him the official...
the face of the ANC.
No, not face, but reason to vote for the ANC. Honestly.
And that is not enough.
It's not even close to enough. This guy is always shocked, yet he was deputy president.
So I went to cover Cyril Ramaphosa in Ivory Park. The same day he went to talk to our white combatants,
yes,
whatever that is. But anyway, what you were talking about, how they are unable to convince the vote. You know, the most popular person who was there in that public gathering, the person was the guy who was handing out the T-shirts. Because the most popular person.
Imagine.
Everyone just flocked there. Well, Ramaphosa came through and everyone was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And others were still sitting.
And
obviously, but as soon as there were t-shirts that were being handed out, everyone, kids, old people, and they had to be stopped to say, no.
The president is coming now.
Yeah, we will give you t-shirts after the rally, or you have to, so that there's no stampede and whatnot. It shows you that people don't expect anything. So they are not there to listen to anything that he's going to say that is going to be new. They've been there, they've seen it all, they've lived through this pain. But interesting about what you are saying about the opposition. I've covered the DA. I realized that their leader now sings. He sings.
He sings,
and his favorite song is what's that song? Makwala Acheche.
Yeah. Oh, Makwala Acheche, Acheche le mura.
Yeah, he kills that one.
Oh,
yeah,
Runa, what did you say? Tata kopi. Oh, yeah, Runa.
So I guess he's bringing back some of that Jay-Z energy and whatnot. But you are right. When they get there, it's very awkward. I went with him in another clinic in Rutherford. It's very awkward how they interact with voters on a one-on-one basis. Yeah. So you all go there and then you are waiting for him to start a conversation and they greet, how are you and what. At some point, you could see that he doesn't know what to say to this woman, so he took the baby and started playing with the baby and whatnot.
Oh, I was going to say, so when you're on a campaign trail with politicians and people are flocking towards them, and when there's t-shirts make an appearance, they pretend as if they don't know that people want t-shirts, not them. Mm. Not their party, not their ideas, not their promises, and a t-shirt doesn't guarantee you a vote. Mm. So in to an extent where when there are no t-shirts, people are like, oh, okay, and then they're just going to go back into their
and
houses.
You see, I mean, our politicians, one thing that I learned that they've realized 100%, which works to their advantage, just adding on what Zuma is saying, our politicians have realized that there's a lack of political thought among our people, especially in the townships and rural areas. And this is not to, you know, to undermine the people. It's just that people, because of what Zimas was saying earlier on, because we there's not this battle of ideas anymore. They no longer care. Whatever they are sold, they buy. They are sold the current president of the ANC as the savior. They're not even questioning, you know, putting questions to that, but how will this guy be the savior? They just believe that, and they believe, you know, this savior must have a skipper with his face, you know. I think politicians have realized that our people think in that manner, and they're using that to their advantage. I mean, the kind of stuff that the politicians say in the township, yeah, we brought you grant, we'll increase grant, those are complete lies, because grant is not paid by the ANC. It's financed by all of us who are working, who are paying tax. But the, you know, those kind of messages, some of them which are blatant lies, and you're like, oh, but the ANC is not sponsoring grant, you know. And I mean, others would spread fear that if you vote for the DA, this grant will go away. Mandela brought this grant, you know, those kind of things, my brother. I mean, it's sad, and it continues that way.
Sengisa, you went to the EFF press briefing, I think it was a week ago, and Julius Malema was there, and he was talking about a whole bunch of things. Was there anything around what his plans are for elections, or how the EFF is sort of, did you notice how the EFF is sort of attacking these elections, or how they're approaching them?
You know, one thing I've realized about the EFF, I must say, I think they are, first of all, operating on a very tiny budget in terms of their elections campaign. They haven't, I mean, just now, Julius Malema this week is in KZN, but before that, when was he actually on the ground? About 3-4 weeks ago. Yeah. You know, so I think they are also writing on this PR thing, you know, and attacking the ANC, of course, just like the DA. But the EFF go extreme in terms of making these popular promises, these socialist promises, which is what people want to hear. They, you see, one thing that I think the EFF understand and is an analysis of the current situation in the country, the socio-economic situation. I think they did a thorough analysis of that, and they're capitalizing on it in that they speak to issues that are real. As to whether they're going to be able to deliver on those issues, as we said earlier, at times they go overboard in promising things that they know will never happen. I think that's just what they're going to keep on hammering on, to make the promises based on the challenges that are experienced in society today. And I think generally EFF on this PR game, this game of PR, they are winning it.
I wanted to ask something. Do you think the voters are being exploited, or do you think the voters themselves have decided that we had in 94? We were listening, our ears were wide open. These were the promises. In 99, we had, these were the promises. Our ears were open. In 2004, we had. In 2009, we were a bit fed up, but we gave chance. In 2014, we were like, okay, maybe this is getting too much. And now in 2019, they say, the only thing that you are good at delivering for us is T-shirts, and we are not even going to bother engaging your message because it's a lie.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a matter of that, or it's a matter of them not being educated enough about what affects them? Because what I know about any single individual is that they know what is a challenge in their own lives, and they find ways to solve it, or at least find a way to bear with it and live with it. So do you think it's a matter of them saying, politicians are never going to give us any change? Whatever they are giving us, we must take it. If they bring food parcels, we take them, we eat. If they give us T-shirts, we'll take them, we'll wear them when we are going, or we'll wear them when we are sleeping, or we'll use them as
my advice on that is, let the politicians come. Take the food parcels, take the money, take the T-shirts, and then vote however you please afterwards, because nobody's going to know, right?
But the key question is how do they decide who to vote for?
Yeah.
I think it's always been emotional. I don't think we use logic in South Africa when we vote, at least a lot of us. Because if we were really, really thinking deeply and, you know, what's the English word of reading things and understanding them?
Comprehend with
and,
issues.
And especially with policies and issues of implementation and performance of certain political parties in parliament and what, you know, legislation they are pushing and stuff like that. I don't think the ANC would be as strong as it is right now if we were using logic, not emotion, to
vote. But who in would fact, they be I'd voting for? Who would they be voting for?
In fact,
there are options.
Like who?
I went now. How many political parties do we have on the ballot? What, 48?
No. What I'm saying is, as a human being, you want to be logical, right?
So if
you are in an abusive relationship with the ANC,
but do people know that it's an abusive relationship?
Of course they know how.
No, but she
said, why are they not shouting them out?
Just to add on what
maybe they don't say alternative.
Wait, don't bully us here with your...
I will bully you.
No, but just to add on what Uzumasa is saying, Uzumasa is correct. I completely agree with her. And this, for me, was evident even yesterday, that people don't even know their rights. They don't know, Mayor Herman Mashaba goes to Alex to present the IDP. And these people, because they've been used by ANC for political reasons, actually, do you know what that is going to do for Alex now? Actually, it will make their situation even worse, because the city will resolve on patches and stuff like that, and they won't be able to know what are the actual challenges of Alex that need to be addressed in that financial year. And people were given an opportunity to present those yesterday through a government legitimate platform.
Wait.
It's self-sabotage, which is so simple, the lack of understanding of what benefits you.
Okay.
Let me jump in on that one. When you are talking, especially about this specific example, an IDP is done every year.
Yes.
Before this, did Mashaba go there and do an IDP roadshow, or is he going now only because there is a strike? Because
IDP is a constitutional mandate.
Yes, but no, I'm saying Mashaba self, the self.
Mm-hmm.
Because an IDP does not require a mayor to be present.
No, it doesn't.
You get your ward councillor, the ward committee, and you get officials.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a budget process that was going on in any case.
Mm-hmm.
So the IDP informs the budget process.
Yes.
They're supposed to table their budget when the financial year ends, and it ends in June.
Mm-hmm.
So they are supposed to be at a very advanced stage by now. So Mashaba going there now, it's not a matter of him caring about residents.
Absolutely.
And asking their input on the IDP. Why wasn't he going there in February when there was no strike?
But at least
it's electioneering.
It is, bruh. But at least so they know. Called for him. He went.
So what I'm saying is, no. The guy was called about how many weeks ago? He didn't go.
Of course, because
he played politics.
Because the ANC was playing politics too.
So he lost the politics battle, and he's going there, using an official event to say, constitutionally, there's supposed to be an IDP. But when those people were saying, hey, Chief, come here, we want you, he sent officials, there were councillors, why wasn't he going there?
But I think what we can say about Alex is that Alex seems to has become a microcosm of the battle between the DA and the EF and the ANC, where Mashaba on the one hand says that, look, like the DA says about the ANC, your problems now are because of the ANC leadership all the way back to 1994. And them stealing money or money disappearing under their leadership, and that's why you are where you are. Whereas the ANC is saying, well, listen, the DA is now in charge and they should have solved this problem for you a long time ago, well, 2 years ago, but it's not happening. So I think Alex is sort of the microcosm of the fight between the DA and the ANC and their little battle of ideas at a national level. But if we look
of the ideas, you see.
Well, not ideas. just a battle.
You know who's gonna win that fight? It's Julius. Julius is going to get a lot of vote there because of people who are angry at the ANC and angry at the DA. Because you have the ANC leadership, right, that will go there and pretend as if they didn't govern Gauteng and fail Alex and loot and do all of that. And then you have DA that will come, but will not come with solutions as well. They are going to come with a blame game of we are trying. This is how the ANC has failed you. And you have the EFF that will come and say, listen, we know your pain. We have lived your pain, even though they live across the road in Sandton.
Yeah.
Our grandmothers, you know, have lived like you. We can relate, so we can help you. This is how we can help you. I think EFF is going to score big there.
Okay, let's end it off like this. I'm going to go around the table. You guys have all been to rallies. You guys have seen all the parties electioneering. In two lines, can you summarize, or just in a very shortly, can you summarize how you think the campaigning is going for, or how the campaigning is happening with each of the three big parties?
Let me start.
Let's start with Apiwe.
This has been one of the most boring election campaigns I've ever. You see, only Alex lit up the scene. Mm. It's sad that it has to be things like that have to be exciting as. For lack of a better word. But besides that, it's been very dry. You've been hearing things that you've heard in Parliament, things that you've heard in 2016, things that were said in 2014.
Mm.
It's been a repetition. No one seems to be innovative enough. When at a level where they meet the voter. Yeah, it's a ish. Eskom was one issue that got a lot of people excited a bit, but since they managed to keep the lights on, however they are doing it, I'm not going to believe what they are telling us. It was the other thing that got the elections a bit exciting. But outside of that, you're not getting any new
but
thing.
They said two lines, but you've been
you're a moderator, yeah.
Since Zingisa cuts a few off, Zingisa, you go for it.
I'll keep it to two lines, my brother. ANC, they've run out of lies to tell. DA, they've run out of insults to hell at the ANC. EFF,
they've run out of gossip.
Run out of
questions. Thank you very much. That's my Zibasa, can you beat that?
No, I would never beat that. I think there's an element of charisma that I am particularly missing. Of course, we want ideas, we want solutions, we want meaningful engagements with politicians, but I don't know if President Cyril Ramaphosa is tired.
So in other words, you must Zuma.
Or he is naturally boring.
Yeah. I miss Lekota and Shiloh.
But we need I don't know, charismatic leaders can mislead you, but during political campaigning you need them to you know, hit things up, and yeah, so I'm going to get that in KZN this week.
Enjoy, guys. Thank you so much for joining me this week in the studio. If you want to listen to us further or follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at hashtags #STPoliticsWeekly, or if you go onto Times Live, which is our website, and search podcasts, you'll find us on there or in the opinion and news and analysis section. Guys, thanks so much for joining us again. We're going to carry on with our election coverage next week. We're going to talk about how we got here in 2019 politically and where we're going from there. And the week just before elections, we're going to discuss who you should vote for. That should be a very interesting one.
Are we going to be telling them?
And is.
We're not going to be telling them. We're just going to be...
And is.
We'll see.
All right. Cool, guys. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Catch you next week.
Thanks.